Welcome to Art House Radio. Welcome to Art House Radio. Welcome to Art House Radio. This is episode 28 times that I've recorded myself and uploaded to various places so that I can interact with you. And you have a piece of me. And I think that's weird that I don't know anything about you. How are you? What are you doing? Are you close to me right now? How close? Figuratively or literally? Are you far away? Are you nestled somewhere in Australia, lying on the hood of your car with snakes and kangaroo joeys running around you, listening to this rubbish? Is that what you're doing with your life? You've fallen onto the Art House bandwagon, or stumbled upon it, or fallen off. Whichever. It is a cold and lonely night here in the spring of 2016, specifically April. I'm wearing gloves inside my house. I like to turn the heat off because then when it comes on, I've got this white noise in the background and it's not always good for recording. So I've got gloves and a winter hat, and I'm just a couple of feet from my bed. Maybe I'll record this while I get under the covers. Is that what you want? Is that where this is going to go? I wasn't implying anything. I'm just saying that I'm just a person, a cold person, and I want to be warmer. And this weather is getting to me, and I need it to be warmer, and I don't see it happening soon. Are you someplace warm? You should tweet at me and tell me how warm it is, and then you can brag about it a little bit. But you know, sometimes these colder temperatures or these terrible weather patterns, they're good for creating things. Did you know that? Are you creating something? I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to create something? You know how many things I've composed? Do you know how many words I've written? Do you know how many videos I've made? And it's like applying to a job sometimes. You send off an application into the cyberspace nothingness, and it just exists in a vacuum, essentially. Does that sound dark? I don't mean it to be. I'm not trying to be dark. I'm just trying to be real. So you have all this inspiration, and you have all this motivation, and you really want to find something inside of yourself that you can pull out and splatter onto a canvas or a video or staff music. Not staff music, staff paper. You know what I mean. And you do it over and over again. And why? Because you love it? I'm almost tired of hearing that. I'm not sure how much comfort there is anymore in all of these things. I used to think that I could just play my way through everything. I started playing the guitar, and I would smoke a lot of weed, and I was playing along with Zeppelin records, and I was getting pretty good, man. Pretty good. And pretty soon I was taking off on my own sound journeys on the guitar. And then pretty soon I was banging out Chopin at piano recitals. And oh, it felt good. And it felt like you were changing the world. And then pretty soon I just naturally started moving towards writing and improvising stuff of my own. And that felt even better because it was me. It wasn't just sounds of somebody else. I wasn't repeating something like a musical actor. Not that there isn't any value in that. I'm not saying that. Just hold on. Pump the brakes there, Shakespeare. I'm just saying that it felt better to voice something of my own. And that was an awesome feeling. And it was also the beginning of a mountainous climb through process and through creation and through sound prejudices and judging myself and putting myself up against things in the world, in the universe, to see how it bounced off. Was it going to stick? What was it going to do? Where was it going to go? Who was going to listen to it? Who was going to watch it? Is that what you think about? Do you sit there in your bedroom and think, what is it that I'm here for? What am I trying to do with everything? It doesn't mean that you need to be depressed or that you are depressed. But don't you think about it? Do you think that everybody thinks about it and just some people don't admit it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the smart ones never get to that. Maybe it's me. Maybe I've always suffered from some sort of creator's backlash. There's probably a much better, more eloquent way to phrase that. An eloquenter way? No, it doesn't work. So what do? You keep going, right? And that's what you do. And you know what happens over the years? You get stronger in some ways, and in other ways, your powers erode because you have to balance it with things. And like an ocean wave, the world just wants to just gobble you up. And it gobbles you up by taking away the things that you love. That's what it does. And you have to be strong enough and tough enough to face that. The people you love are going to go. The music that you write, it's not going to stay. Beethoven's symphonies will not last forever. This earth will, at some point, lose the sun or cook itself, get hit by a meteorite or an asteroid, or Sasquatch will kill everybody on the planet. Something will happen, and all of the music will be lost. All the movies gone. All the books destroyed. And so what was the point of all of it? Was it to better the people who were experiencing at that time, who could look back and find some sort of inspiration? Is there selfishness in that? That you're taking it and applying it to your life? Or are you just appreciating it? And if you are just appreciating it, how are you showing that? Are you just participating by listening to it? Ripping it off YouTube, listening to it free on some downloaded site, not paying for stuff. Nobody pays for stuff in the arts world. The arts world is the only one that people expect for free. Nobody walks into a movie theater and expects to get in for free. That's true. People don't expect to get tickets to the symphony for free. But people expect artists to charge very little for their work. Or for composers not to get paid. Do you know how many emails and messages I've gotten over the past few years where people ask me to write something for them, or they want me to consider writing something, to compose something, and there's a fee? I understand musicians and performers have to get paid, but who pays the composer? The answer is nobody. That's the answer. And I'm sorry, this is not a typical art house story. This is a rant. And you're listening to it right now. And the fact that you haven't shut this off means that maybe I'm touching something inside of you that you know to be true, that you're experiencing yourself, that you want to solve. It's a problem. It's a puzzle. And I don't know how to solve it. I mean, maybe someday I'll figure it out. You keep waiting, and you think you're going to figure it out. People in other fields, some of them figure things out. Most people don't. But is it important to figure it out? Are we trying to figure things out monetarily? It affects the way that you create, sure. But does it make it any less valid or interesting if you haven't monetized it? No, I don't think so. It doesn't make it any less interesting. But it certainly affects it. And it affects the volume of it, the quantity, that you produce in your lifetime, because who can go to work at Burger King for 10 hours a day and come home and write a string quartet, publish a podcast, work, curate a show, write a script, make that video, write that play? You can do it. You can do it probably your entire life, but you're going to slow down. You can only hand so many boxes of fried potatoes out the window to customer after customer, day after day, and then go home and spend 3 hours by the candlelight writing. Well, not everybody uses a candlelight anymore, but you get my point. It's going to wear you down, but you have to burn the midnight oil. You have to. Because if you don't, they win. Who's they? ISIS? Nope. Not ISIS. All the people out there who contribute to this system that's so one-sided. And by one-sided, I mean the arts versus everybody. Those are the two sides from this perspective. From this little rant right here, those are the two sides. The arts and everybody else. And everybody else wants everything for free. And I don't know how it became that situation. Some people pay for it, sure. Some people understand it. But you know what? More people should support the arts. And do you want to know why? If you have to be greedy, if you have to think of it financially, I'll give you one good reason why. Because arts people are pretty fucking smart. And when you leave smart people in the same job market pool that you're in, you're going to have some competition. So maybe, just maybe, if you decided that you were going to buy a couple pieces of art each year and you were going to contribute to artists making money off of their work, for example, what you're doing is removing competition, intelligent competition, creative competition. So that betters your chances of getting that job at Staples or at wherever, some administrative position, a teaching position, a job behind a bar. Do you want that job? I mean, maybe nobody does. Maybe some people do. But if you need that job, wouldn't you like less people to apply to it? So why don't you buy stuff? You could pick anybody. It doesn't have to be someone that you like, even. Even if you're not into music or you're not into painting, you buy something, it trickles its way through. Ooh, trickle's a dirty word. But you know what I mean. Pretty soon, if everybody does that, all of a sudden, 10% of the artists are self-sustaining through their work. Who knows what it is now? 0.01? I have no idea. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows. But if it increases, you know, you're benefiting from that. And that's just if you're doing it to be greedy financially. I don't mean to say greedy. You might actually like it. You might find that. Well, whatever. Listen, this is Art House Radio. This is a rant that is now over, I hope. But you never know. I could launch into it again because it's clearly kicking me off right now. And you're listening to this because you probably can relate to it. That's why you picked up this podcast. That's you're an awake soul. You get it. I think you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't or if you didn't. And I think it's important that we continue down this road. Whatever happens, we just go. We dust ourselves. You can knock us down, but we get up again. You're never going to keep us down. I don't mean to quote Chumbawamba there. But you know what? I did. And one of the reasons I did is because Chumbawamba is on this episode. You heard me right. I'll explain later. Hey, do you like music? Speaking of all that sound talk, you do? So do I. Hey, have a listen to this, man or woman. episodes of The Robert Smith and The Cure. Oh, no, wait, it's not. It's Super Chunk covering The Cure. What? Well, there's this thing online. You've probably heard of it, although judging by the downloads, many of you haven't, called the AV Club. What is that? Well, they took this little studio, right, performance space, and they invited all these bands like Superchunk or Reggie Watts or, you know, The Head and the Heart, tons of good bands. Not like, you know, Ben Folds. It's not like a small time music list, right? They invited 25 bands in. They gave them a list of 25 different songs. I don't know how they came up with the songs, but that's what they did. Each band had to pick a song to cover or musician. And each time they did, a song was crossed off the list. So as the bands went through, you had less and less choices. So you had all these interesting covers being made by, you know, bands who maybe weren't in that genre. So all of a sudden they had to take this music and make it their own. So you have things like Gwar, the, you know, scary metal band, rest in peace, covering Kansas. Or you had, like, you know, funk bands covering metal or something like that. So that's what Superchunk is doing there, covering The Cure. Now, they're not that different, Superchunk, right? They're similar in many ways. You also discover new things. I've listened to some of these songs so many times. It's kept me up late so often over the years that I had to share it with you because I think it's pretty awesome. And you should check it out if you haven't already. Let me share some more with you. I discovered this girl, Sharon Van Etten. Didn't know anything about her, but she did some really cool covers. And one of the things, speaking of contrasting voices, is, you know, you get to hear different renditions because you don't necessarily cover things the way that they are. Sometimes, for the better artists, I think, they sort of take a song or a piece and it's just like showered with their own voice. And Sharon Van Etten did a cover of a song by the Fine Young Cannibals. Nice, very mellow. What a voice. Interestingly, if you listen to that, you think, oh, well, I mean, she sounds like Mazzy Star all the time. Not true, because she did another one that I'm going to share, and it was Sharon Van Etten and Shearwater. I've never heard of Shearwater until this, covering Stop Dragging My Heart Around, and what a powerful voice she displays in this. Now, listen to this. So that song was a little less contrasting. It was close to the Tom Petty, Stevie Nicks version. God, I love Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks. They're so great. But quite often throughout the AV Club, you do run into the moment where you hear such interesting takes on different songs, like the Wood Brothers covering Michael Jackson.
Where did you come from, lady? Ooh, why don't you take me there? Tenderoni, you've got to be. Spark my nature with sugar fly with me. Don't you know now is a perfect time? We can make it right at the city light. You know tonight, I love and pain. Let me take you to the max. I want to love you.
P-Y-T.
Pretty young thing. You need some loving.
TLC.
And love and care. And I'll take you there. I want to love you.
P-Y-T.
Pretty young thing. You need some loving.
TLC.
And love and care. And I'll take you there. Yeah, I'll take you there. Nothing can stop this burning desire that I have. Gotta get you, baby. Mom, it's an emergency. Ease this fire burning. Honey, come set me free. No, now is the perfect time. We can dim the lights just to get it right.
Wonderful harmony, really interesting rendition, right? One of the things that really got me into the AV Club, one of the first things that I saw was Ted Leo and the Pharmacist covering Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears, I always hear, is such a great live act. A couple of guys that have such strong voices, their songs get better. Like the 80s bands, a lot of that music, I think, gets stronger as time goes on. It's like some sort of grape. Crushed grape in a bottle, if you know what I mean. I think they call it wine. But this cover is so good. Ted Leo, what a guitarist, what a singer. Interesting take, and I can't even tell you how many times I listened to this. There's just a moment where you get to the chorus where it's just like, it get kind of chills up and down.
Don't.
So there it is. Ted Leo and the Pharmacist covering Tears for Fears. I feel like a radio DJ all of a sudden. I don't know. It's not really anything I want to get into, but there it is. That's the AV Club. Check it out on YouTube if you haven't already. There's your hot music tip for the day. Wait a minute. What should we end on? Everybody wants to rule the world. A little depressing. All right. This whole thing started off a little bit on the downer side, if you will. Maybe or not. Maybe just a fighting side. Maybe it's just the fighter in me that's coming through on this. So since I quoted Chumbawamba earlier, this is where your Chumbawamba reference lands. All right. I'm going to leave you with this. The AV Club, They Might Be Giants, covering Chumbawamba. And one of the beautiful things about this is they invited all these people into the studio and let them sing along. And it was great.
We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing. He takes a cider drink,
soda drink.
He sings a song that reminds him of a good time. He sings a song that reminds him of a good time.
Thank you for listening. Art House Radio is supported by people like you who go to our website, arthouse43.com, click on donate or recurring donations, and they make some sort of a contribution. It has happened, just so you know, but it isn't happening anywhere near enough. So if you care about this or you want to subscribe to my theory about how contributing to artists or arts things helps the world in some way, then you should think about donating. Also, if you could, it would be great if you like this show, or if you don't, I don't want to, you know, try to persuade you into anything, but if you could rate it on iTunes, review it anywhere else, but especially iTunes, because that's a pretty big one. You know, maybe take the time, just like, I don't know, 20 seconds, to click on a star and then say, like, I like it. It's great. Or he sounds pretty adorable or interesting or something. That would be helpful. You can also follow me on Twitter at Spanish Peanuts. You can at arthouse43, but that one, I don't really check that one that much. I try to. Also on Facebook at /arthouse43 or whatever. I can't talk today. You know what? I'm just so over today. I really am. I've had it. So I, now that you are feeling my negativity, please help pull me out of it by writing me notes. Give me some sort of a pickup, will you? Will you just write something to me? Tell me something good. Tell me something funny. And if you want to make a donation, that's great. Creative projects are never free, so any support you could give would be greatly appreciated. I have so many hopeful ideas for future episodes. I hope that they happen, and I hope that you listen. And I thank you for listening, and you're out there, and I see you because I keep stats, or I look at the stats, and I'm very grateful. So thank you, and until next time, friends. Thank you.